Thank you guys for being in the house tonight and lifting up a praise to the one that loves us the most. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I just want to bring you a reminder tonight, a very simple reminder. But I know the Lord was in it and spoke to me late this afternoon and just showed me a brief, simple story. It's not anything new to you, but it'll speak to you as it spoke to me. But I was going back over my life, you know, and Linda called last night and told me that one of her lifelong friends and a friend of the family was moving off to Idaho. She's up in age now. And so she said, would you call her and call Mary Julian and just pray with her before she goes. And so I got with her on the phone and thanked her and talked to her and told her how special she had been to my life. And I remember when she used to pick Judy and I up and take us to church. And she took us to church. And I said, Mary, you know, had you not picked me up to church, my mother and daddy were very, very faithful to church when I was a little girl. And then when I was at about fourth or fifth grade, he came down with a sciatic nerve, and it just knocked him off his feet for about 2 years. And it was a horrible time for him. And I used to just see him cry and beg God to let him die. The pain was so great. And so then after 2 years off, it was hard for, they just didn't get back into church. And so Mary came and picked me up. So I was thinking her for all of that. And then I just started thinking of the different people in my life that have blessed my life over the years. Friends, you know, and church members, and the church has always blessed my life. And pastors and evangelists and teachers at school and teachers at church and my youth pastor. You know, I remember all those people, and I'll be forever grateful to them. But first, my mother and dad, my mother and father. I think our parents teach us more than anyone else of those that I mentioned, beside the word. And they taught me so much, but I'm thankful to the evangelist, the teacher, the preacher, the pastor, the friends, and people like Mary Jillian, and friends and family who has helped us and been with us all the way through. And then we can't go without mentioning life experiences. Boy, don't they teach us some things? We probably learn most from life experience. So Rick and I were kind of talking about that today. But I'll tell you this, church, and I'm sure you would say this with me. Nothing out of all those sweet and great and wonderful people that have spoken things into my life, didn't even know they were teaching me or encouraging me when they said it. But nothing compares with the words of this book. That the good things that I've gleaned from it. I mean, just good life things, just good encouragement. Nothing compares to those little nuggets and seeds that you grasp and glean out of the Word of God. And you've heard it, as I have heard it over the years, people say, well, I would read my Bible, but I just can't understand it. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And you know what? I just can't buy that. I can't buy that. I mean, for a person to say they can open up the Psalms or open up one of Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians or Ephesians or Colossians or Philippians or any of the Word. Now you might get to the book of Revelation. And, you know, it's pretty crazy sometimes. But I'm going to say there is no cause why you can't understand it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us understand it. And there's things that I would get when I was a young girl out of the Word. And you get it all the time. Are you a scholar? No. Am I a scholar? No. But we open it, and you may not know exactly, but you can grasp it. So don't buy all that stuff when they tell you that. Because not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but we have commentaries on the Bible. You can buy a commentary at any bookstore, or you can go online. You can get a commentary on each one of the books, or you can get a copy of the commentary for the entire Bible that will teach you verse by verse what it says. So there's really no cause for anyone to say, I can't understand it. Now, a sinner, they can even look probably at David's writings and grasp some, but it's sure a lot easier with the Holy Spirit teaching you, amen? And just helping you with it. So let me just take you to a real I'm just going to prove this by this very simple little story here. Turn over to Acts chapter 12. I've always loved this story. And it's not going to be new to you, this portion of Scripture. You've heard this preached probably inside out and upside down, here and there and everywhere. But the Holy Spirit can say what He wants to say out of the Word, can't He? Do anything He wants. But let me show you this little simple word on prayer. Kathy, I'll write this title down, Brother Rick. Are you expecting the answer? Okay. Again, I'm putting that down there so you can look it up later on. But are you expecting the answer? And we're going to go to Acts, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. 12 and 5 first. And then after that, we'll go on down to verse 11 through about verse 16. All right, look at verse 5. And Peter was therefore kept in prison, but how much prayer? Constant. That means constantly. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by who? By his best friends? By the church. Okay. So Peter was kept means guarded. I mean, he was there for a while. He was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Okay, let's go to verse 11. It's pretty self-explanatory. And when Peter had come to himself, because he made it out of the jail, that's a whole other story. I'm not going to do that tonight. But he went through three different quarters, and he got out. Finally, the iron doors opened of their own accord, and he walked out. So verse 11 says, he must have thought he was dreaming. Because in verse 11, it says, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. All right, let's look at verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door, at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. Now, up until this time, we have never heard of Rhoda. Okay, so this was a girl named Rhoda, and she went to answer the door. Verse 14, and when she did what? She recognized Peter's voice. Remember that word. Because of her gladness, what? She did not open the gate? She was so excited, she didn't open the door, but she ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, you're beside yourself. In other words, you're just crazy, Rhoda. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And so they said, oh, it's not. It's just his angel. Verse 16. Now Peter, thank you, Jesus, he kept on knocking. He continued knocking. They continued praying. He continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him. And they were like, what? They were astonished that their prayer was answered. Dude! Is that really you? And yet, what did we see in verse 5? Constant prayer was made to God for him by the church. But the church was so busy singing and so busy praying. And so busy, the pastor was probably so busy saying, if you just call on Jesus, he'll answer your prayer. They were so busy that their prayer meetings had gotten so routine that they forgot to expect God to do a miracle. Just plain old forgot. What people, you old man, you should see them. They used to go to Benny Hinn meetings and line up outside for blocks. Because they were expecting. Saying Christians go home, don't expect one thing. So these people had gotten so used to praying, they forgot to expect answers. And they were happy about it, and they shouted about it. And in fact, it said Rhoda was so excited, she answered the door and shut it. Man, she was so excited. She she just went and told everybody about it. Man, sometimes we just get so excited about church and a good meeting, and we just want to shout about it. No, we're so happy, and we feel so good. And we go in the restaurant, and we call our sister, and we call our friends, and say, hey, you should have been at church this morning. Wow! But we forget what's going on. We forget to expect to receive. And I just want to encourage you tonight to expect a miracle. The thing you've been praying about for a long time, just expect the answer to come soon. But thank God that one woman, Rhoda, recognized his voice, and it sounded like she was the newest girl in the room. Maybe. Sweet little thing. She recognized his voice, and I'm thinking about this. I think, well, she must have been, obviously she knew his voice, she knew him, and she was so acquainted with what she was praying about. She was acquainted with her prayer request because they had been praying this a long time. So she recognized his voice, but it didn't say anyone else went to the door but her. So sometimes, you know, we can get so used to the geek. I started to say geeks. That too. The Greeks and the garlic and the onions, that we forget that we're free people. We're not in Egypt anymore. We're not way back there in bondage anymore. We're free. Hallelujah. But God had that one woman, and she recognized it. And it was exactly what they were praying for. I mean, exactly. They were praying that Peter would get out of jail, and it would take a major miracle. How many times do we say today, oh, for God to turn this nation around, it would take a miracle? Excuse me? Isn't that what we're praying for? It's like, that's our last hope is prayer. Ooh-y. That's all we got left. No, it's the best thing we've got. Above everything else. So I just wonder, church, if when our answer comes, if you'll recognize it. You know, remember the guy who was praying and God sent him he was hanging on a cliff and God sent a helicopter and he sent a boat and he said, oh no, God's going to deliver me. Remember that one? God said, I done sent you a boat, sent you a helicopter. So we got to recognize it when it comes. But whenever we hear the knocking, check it out. You know, I've said so many times to the staff and to my family, look, you know, if you're praying about something and something comes up, well, just go open the door and look behind it. If something's there, that's good. Invite it in. But if you look behind the door and there's nothing there, forget it and go your way. What have you got? You haven't lost anything. But it might be Peter. You know, it just might be that answer that you're praying for. And everybody else may say, you're crazy. Do you really think after 17 years with your poor little daughter suffering all that she suffered from a gunshot wound, do you, what has your family said? Probably some of your family thinking you guys are a little, but wait until the answer comes. Just wait until Rhoda answers that door. Oh, my goodness. So thank you, Jesus. He continued knocking. What if the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears me and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. Now, we know that means eat. We know he'll have dinner with us. But that goes farther than that. It means fellowship. I will come and stay with you. I will sleep with you. I will be with you. I will deliver you. I will help you. I'll do all those things. So Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So next time you're praying, we better look over there. I was praying for my little ones the other morning, you know, and they go to Lombardi School, and it's such a big school. And I wait over there an hour and 15 minutes to pick them up when it's my turn. Dad don't wait that long, but, you know, he knows how to do it. So I want to get up front, so they have to wait a long time. So I go over there and wait. So Every morning before they rise, before you get up, I pray for my immediate family, my external family, and you, the family God. And so I'm praying for you. Well, I was praying for that school. God, draw a bloodline around a school. Keep them from all harm and danger. Lord, I know little Ainsley's got that class upstairs. Keep her safe. She walks up with that 2-ton backpack and that 3-ton saxophone. And, you know, we always make everything bigger than it is. And so I'm praying. Now, I had just prayed that 2 hours ago or three or whatever it was. And so I'm passing the school coming to work, coming to the office. Went by that school. You know what I said? Oh, Lord, just draw a bloodline around that school. Draw a wall of fire. God, keep them safe. Lord, keep them from all harm and danger. And he said, do you believe I can do that? I said, yes, Lord. Then you just asked me 2 hours ago. I heard you. You know, something like that. You know, he really does hear us. But anyway, I just came to remind you tonight to be expecting when you pray about things that he really will. But I love it that he kept on knocking and little Rhoda went back to the door and answered it. Isn't that sweet? She went back. Sometimes if you miss it, go back again and say, Lord, I may have missed the answer. Don't let me miss it because I want to see it. And it said they were totally astonished. So I know you're praying about a lot of things. We all are. But I just want to remind you to just keep expecting whatever you're praying about. And then look for that answer. You may see it downtown. You may hear it out of the voice of someone. You may get the letter on an email. Who knows where that letter comes from? Or it may come from a total-handed deliverance on your loved one. I mean, he can just take care of anything. Nothing's too hard for our God. So I'll tell you what Jesus is going to do. He's just going to keep on knocking at our doors. And as long as we're praying, you know, we're just going to keep on praying and believing. And not just that, but expecting. Amen? So let's pull the lights down and we're going to go pray and we're going to expect answers every time we pray. Amen? God bless you so much. Thank you for giving tonight. Thank you for blessing the Lord. And make yourselves at home. This is your house. Okay, this is God's house. It's not a house of den of thieves and robbers, but it's a house of prayer. So you guys can just help yourself on a platform. You can lay on the floor, or come to the altars. You can walk up there and sit. I don't care if you want to sit in those beautiful chairs or on the steps. But whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, God bless you.